If you would turn with me, please, to 1 John, and we are looking at chapter 3, verse 11, and we're talking today about, of course, sacrifice and love. Now, my favorite fruit is the peach. I love peaches. The flavor, the juiciness, there's just nothing better than a peach. You know what I don't like? I don't like peach fuzz, and I don't like pits. And I especially don't like them in combination. But I like everything in between. I still buy peaches. I still eat peaches because I love the peach. And really, when you think about it, if a peach doesn't have fuzz on it, what is it? It's a nectarine. I hate nectarines. I just don't like them. I don't know why I don't like them. They're hard and they're kind of weird tasting. And they're not peaches. They're like peach imposters. And so I don't like them. For me to love that peach, it has to have the fuzz on it. And it has to have the pit. And as much as I love peaches and I love pies, you'll be glad to know that the week that I was visiting my daughter, Karen made a peach pie for the staff. That was the week I was gone. I'll remember that. So we're talking about sacrifice and love. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 11. The idea here is that we're supposed to love even when love is difficult. We're supposed to love people even when they're covered with fuzz and have pits. Because in reality, everyone does. And so starting in verse 11, if you would follow, I'm going to actually read through it, a good portion of it, and then we'll pick up from there. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. For what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So, in 1 John 3:11, it starts out, we should love one another. And that sounds fairly easy, but it is something that we struggle with. Well, in verses 14 and 15, it says, so we know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brothers. That's an example of, or a characteristic of who we are. It's how you tell the peach apart from the nectarine. That we learn how to love each other. A nectarine has smooth skin, a peach has peach fuzz on it. And you know them because of their distinctives. And one of the distinctives we have is that we love each other. Now, in reality, this is where the analogy falls apart. We're called to love peaches and nectarines. That's hard, but that's a characteristic of who we are, that we have that ability, that we have that built-in desire, that it's not possible for us to love people. We love people. The Bible says that everyone is created in God's image. So it's different when you're talking to someone and you think, well, you know what, they're just low-life scum. Because what the Word of God says is they may be low-life scum, but they were created in the image of God, and He loved them enough to send His Son to die for them. So it quickly changes this idea of who is low-life scum to, wow, I'm just bashing on someone that God gave His Son's life for. And so that is the change that happens inside of us that transforms us from people who struggle with loving to people who really can't help but love other people. So we're going to look at what love looks like, because love is a word we use often. We throw it around. We love pizza. We love books. We love movies. We love all kinds of things, our wives, our children, our cars, our whatever. But love in the New Testament, as we've talked before, of course, has a number of different words depending on the type of love that you have. You have phileo for your brother. We know Philadelphia comes from the Greek word phileo for brotherly love. You have eros for your wife. You love your wife. It's where we get the word erotic from. And then there's this word agape, which is unconditional love, this love that comes from God. And by the way, this is the hard part. Look in verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should agape one another. Okay, so if agape means unconditional, abiding love, and then it goes on to say, this is how we know that we are saved, if we have agape for one another. Where does that leave us? Because that's a very high marker to hit, that we agape one another. So this is what love looks like. We love each other. We agape each other. So just the random idea, we love people. Then there's that we love someone enough that we give to them, not out of our abundance, but out of our need. So there's this other side of it, that we agape one another, that we agape even when it hurts. Also, this is how we know what love is, when we do what pleases God. Because there's a whole bunch of people that go out and do things unpleasing to God and then say, I follow God. That would be like wearing a Steelers jersey to a Bengals game and saying, I love the Bengals. Right? No. You do what pleases God if you are one of His. If you are not one of His, not only will you not do what is pleasing to Him, but you won't even know what that is. And then lastly, that we abide in God. That's different than doing just what pleases him. Yes, abiding in him is pleasing to him, but it's also one of the ways we know. And one of the ways that we are able to love is when we abide in God. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to it. So first of all, we love when we love each other. So 1 John 3:14, again, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Think carefully. With all of the hate and the violence and the bad mouthing and all of the mess going on in the world today, I mean, you have someone taking a gun and shooting at leaders of our country, and the only question he asked was, are they Democrat or Republican? He hated them because they were Republicans. A year ago, a man went into the Pulse nightclub in Orlando and shot, 29 people to death because of their gender preferences. Whether or not we agree with someone's choices does not allow us to abdicate our love for them. Just because we don't like what someone stands for, that we don't like what they say, that we don't like what they do or where they work or how they act, doesn't give us the right to say, I hate you, that I would rather you be dead. And actually, we don't have that right at all. Because each person that lives was created in the image of God. It's this idea of the Imago Dei that dwells within each human being. The Imago Dei is what makes abortion so reprehensible. It's what makes murder evil, is because you are destroying the very image of God. And each person carries within them the Imago Dei. That is hard, because every single person in here knows someone they don't like. So it's not only that you don't love them, you don't even like them. In fact, if they fell off the earth, you would kind of be okay with that. That is also part of human nature, but that is part of our fallen nature. See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and sin entered the world, our nature became a fallen nature, a sin nature. And so there's two sides that war against. It's the nature that God gave us, which was to love and to serve and to worship Him and to act in accordance with His will. And then the nature that Satan has given us, that is not to love and follow and honor Satan. That is not Satan's will. His will is that we would fight and destroy what is good. To fight against God, not to follow Him. He doesn't care. No, don't follow me. Destroy the message of the Holy One. That's what Satan wants to do. Luke 6:29-30 says, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, don't demand them back. Even when people are hard to love, when you have to really struggle, and we all have those people in our lives. Say, Pastor, if you're asking me to love this person, you don't know this person. I may not, but like you, I have at least three of them in my family, right? I've got a couple on my block, a couple on the block. We all know them. And you say, but Pastor, what is love? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But you're right. Sometimes it's hard to show that love depending on how love is defined. But remember, the love we're talking about here says unconditional, abiding love. Because our society has torn that word apart, doesn't give us the right to ignore its existence or to change the definition. We love when we give in times of need. So there are those who love, who give out of abundance. Sure, I have $1 million. I'll give you $10. Aren't I grand? And then there are those that'll say, you know, I only have $100. But if I cut back, I think I could do it on 50. I'll give you the other 50. You ever met someone that's just so giving, they give until it hurts? Like I did this morning in our checking account. Mike, you got to have your checkbook ready, because I'll tell you what, the bank is not going to like us. It is giving even out of your need. And it's something we struggle with. In verse 16 and 17, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to also lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? It says, hey, if you have, and you see someone who doesn't have, and you close your heart to them, how is that love? How much did Jesus love us? Well, he loved us enough that he died for us. He loved us enough that he left his throne in the holy place to come down, first of all, and dwell with us so that he could know us, that he could feel the things we felt, the temptations that we felt, the hunger, the pains, that he died on the cross living a sinless life between two thieves. He loved us. He said, so out of his great abundance, he gave even more. Really high example. John said this is my commandment, remember this, that you love one another. So John is quoting Jesus' word. Jesus' commandment to us is that we love one another. And it seems so easy. But then you're like, but really, God, have you met them? I mean, I know you made them, but have you met them? I mean, you know, have you ever met someone they're just like so easy to love? You're like, would you just be part of my family? Can we like adopt you? I just want you like, I don't know, like a piece of furniture in my living room. They just exude that and you just instantly fall in love with them. And then there's those people, they never really did anything. They probably never even spoke. And you already don't like them. I've had people dislike me because I shave my head. Or you remind me of someone. Oh, I'm so sorry. Or the sound of a voice or the way you carry yourself. You know, have you ever met someone and you can just tell they already don't like you? You don't know what it is. You don't really care. But they just don't. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And this is the hard part. As I have loved you. Then, of course, there's the hard part. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life. So here we have two sides of it. We have one side that says we're supposed to love people with this unconditional, abiding love to the extent that even if it costs us our lives, we would love them. Now, I got to tell you, I don't want you to kill yourselves or kill anybody else or do anything drastic. The way we could look at this and interpret it, what does it look like that we would lay down our lives? But you know what? Think about this. When was the last time a friend inconvenienced you? When was a time when you thought, you know, I know they're a friend, but I really don't want to do this. I don't want to go help them move. I don't want to rototill their lawn. I don't want to put a tile on their roof. I don't want to go unplug the toilet. I don't want to go golfing. I don't want to, whatever it may be. Wow, I just don't. And yet, maybe that is what that person needs. That time, that effort. Now, there are those, I'm always going to throw in here the counterbalance to that, because there are those people that just need to be told, get a life, right? I am married. I've been married now for 27 and a half years. And lest you forget, babe, our wedding anniversary is the 28th of October. She usually forgets that, but we always joke because she says, you know, you're the only man in the world that remembers every single date, and I'm married to the only woman in the world who could care less. Except one day I asked her one time, it was November, like the first week of November, and we're like, wasn't our anniversary in October? We both totally forgot our anniversary one year. It was awesome. There are those people that need a check. I'm not one that goes for guys' nights out. That's not who I am. I much prefer a night when I'm just sitting in the living room and my wife is in the living room. Even if we're not speaking, we're together. That's my idea of a great time. So if someone says, hey, pastor, let's go out and do this, I'll do that. If they call me up the next week and say, hey, let's go do that again, okay, I might do that again. They call me up the next week, I'm going to say, you know, no. No, I don't do that because I enjoy that time I spend with my family. And sometimes you just got to tell people enough is enough. And that's okay. It's called boundaries, and boundaries are part of love. See, sometimes when we're giving out of our need, it's still okay to set those boundaries, to love people when things are hard. You know, Jesus was in the temple. He tells this parable about how he's in the temple and he sees people giving their alms, you know, giving money to the temple, to the church of the day. And they're giving out of their abundance. And then he sees this little old lady and she walks up and she puts money in the offering box. And Jesus said, notice that woman. She is blessed because not did she give out of her abundance, but she gave every penny she had. She only had one, and she gave it away. She gave it away because she knew that she was so loved by God that God would provide for her, that God would care for her. She gave until it hurt because she knew that when she ran out, God would fill it back up. And sometimes, you know, we've been around those people, we're like, I'm all used up. I'm one of those people, it's really easy to tell. It's like I have a tank and there's a great big window on the side of that tank. And Tish is really good about telling it's going down, it's going down, it's going down. It's like, okay, everybody needs to go outside because he's going to explode, right? I need time to recharge. I need time. There are people, you put them in a room full of people and it just lights them on fire. Man, they're going at it. They're having a great time. I'm one of those people you put in a room full of people and it just drains. What fills my tank is being alone or being with close friends or being with my family. And that's the difference, you know, between introvert and extrovert is not whether you like a lot of people or whether you can be nice to people and be outgoing. What defines an introvert or an extrovert is where you get your energy. When I'm in a room full of people, my energy goes zzz. When I'm in a room that's just a few people or close friends, my energy level increases. And so everyone's built a little difference. But I know when I give all I can give that I can keep going because I have a reserve tank. And that reserve tank is Jesus Christ. So you never run out. Imagine having a reserve tank that never ran out. And that's what Jesus Christ is. He is the reserve tank that says when it comes to love, you can give and give and give and keep giving because if you're loving people, I'm going to keep filling that tank. You can never outlove the limits of the God whose name is love. By the way, that story is in Luke 21, the story of the widow that gave all that she had. In Proverbs 27, there's a verse you hear quite a bit, 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Remember, I talked a little bit about building hedges. Sometimes the best way to love someone is to tell them the truth. The best way to love someone is to tell them the truth. Now, it's funny. I watched these commercials. I was telling someone today, I said, have you ever seen those commercials that say, don't you wish sometimes that the world would be, and you see people like telling someone exactly what they're thinking, and you're like, imagine a world where people said exactly what they were thinking. I'm like, I'm trying to break myself of that habit. Don't encourage me. We love when we do what pleases him. In 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another just as he has commanded us. Our ability to love others is a natural outpouring of the love of God, the love that he has poured into us. We love when we do what pleases him. So when we're part of the family of God, he's constantly pouring into us, and we should be overflowing in what he has given us. Sometimes we struggle with that. But this is what I've said, you've heard me say, when this relationship, my relationship with God is good, then my relationship with people is generally good. When my relationship with God is somehow broken, I start having problems with people. My temper gets short. I get agitated and aggravated and really don't want to deal with them. It's also true of the inverse. If I start having problems with people, it's going to affect my relationship with God, because God is saying, yo, they're made in my image. What are you doing? Why are you acting that way? Think it over. Rethink it. So there's always this balancing act between setting appropriate boundaries, loving people enough to confront, loving people out of our need, willing to give, go that extra mile, willing to give that little bit extra. And also, we show our love. Let's show this. In John 14, 15 through 16, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do we know if someone is loving the Lord? If we're keeping his commandments, not just the Old Testament commandments, but the primary commandment, which everyone should love your neighbor as what? Yourself. How do we take care of ourselves? We pamper ourselves. We do what we like to do. Hey, I want to take care of myself. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 said it a little bit different. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our heart. Do you want to know one of the greatest ways to love someone is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? If they don't know Jesus, they don't spend eternity in heaven. So how can we spend our lives around people and never share the love of God with them? It's one of the ways, foremost ways, that we show our love. We show our love also when we abide in God. 1 John 3:24 says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. We are able to love each other, and this builds a little bit on Josh's message of worship. We're able to love one another when we are in a constant state of worship. Right? This is what abiding in God is. When we live a life where we live a life pleasing to God. You know, when Ashley comes up here and she sings, we call that praise and worship. But in reality, everything we do, if we do as unto the Lord, it is an act of worship. When we give our tithes and offerings, assuming we have enough money in the bank to do that, if we give our tithes and offerings, that's an act of worship. When we're studying the Word of God as the pastor speaks, that is an act of worship. When we pray with each other, when we greet people, when we are fellowshipping as a body of Christ, we are acting in worship. And we need, as Josh said, we need to build into that and cultivate it and live that life constantly. Worship is not just when Ashley comes here. Her time is when we can reflect, when we can shut the world out and focus on him and clean out, I guess, that connection. When it's just our heart praising him. But everything we do, when we are focused on God, is an act of worship. And as we worship, we are abiding in God. What does love look like? Love looks like when we love each other. Not just love each other, but when we agape each other. It's when we love someone enough that we give, not out of our abundance, but out of our need. When someone is unlovable and we still love them. When we've given all that we can give, but we trust that God will give a little bit more. When we do what pleases God and act according to His word. By the way, the more you act and do what pleases God, the less the world is going to like you. 1 John 3:11, 12, right? Says, hey, you may love, if you get this love thing going, that's awesome. But just so you know, don't expect a reply from the world that's positive. Because the more you love everyone, the more people are going to hate you just because you love others. And fourthly, love is exemplified when we're abiding in God. When God has poured so much into us that we can't help but pour it out on the people around us. When we are constantly living that state of worship. Please join with me in prayer as we close the service this morning. We have a video we're going to show you. There are Father's Day gifts available. By the way, Pathways 101, the class I'm starting next week, if you are wanting to become a member, if you are a new attender, this Pathways 101 is the class you would take to kickstart your membership. And so that'll be in here next week at 9:30. So if you'd like to come, I will be teaching that class in here. If you're interested in becoming a member here at Faith Fellowship, or you just want to know more about the church. If you come to the class, we're not going to say, okay, well, now you have to be branded. But if you just want to know more about us, please come to the class. If you want to become a member, that's the next step in becoming a member. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are an example of all the fathers. Lord, you set an example that you love people even when they are at their most unlovable, that you care for them even when sometimes that is difficult. Father, we thank you for the love that you pour out on us. Father, we thank you for that example. Lord, we are just so appreciative that you have guided us and directed us and given of yourself so much. We thank you for the gift of your Son. Father, I pray a blessing on each person here, that you would love them and encourage them, that you would build them up. Father, we know people struggle and fight through life. Life is hard. But Father, you are the God of peace, a God of strength, a God of courage and endurance. And Father, we pray that on each person here today, that they would continue to grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding before you and before men. Truly, you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people would say, amen.